WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year. I hope your eggnog is spiked appropriately. All of our WNST Maryland Crab Cake Tour dates have been put on a hiatus till 2022. That's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be letting ourselves play. We were playing last week in Dundalk. I love playing the Cincinnati Bengals because I have these rich experiential relationships with these journalists who've struggled in Cincinnati, much like I've struggled with baseball here in Baltimore. But then times get better, and then they don't, and then they get a number one draft pick. But Paul Dana's been doing it from the beginning. He's at the Athletic now. He's been covering the team since back in the Marvin era. We're into a new era now, and boy, we haven't won a football game in a month around here, Paul. So let's talk about the Bengals. How you doing?
Sure. There's plenty to talk about. Both of these teams have been. I'm more interested in hearing about the chaos in Baltimore because it's been wild to watch from afar. Chaos everywhere but here in the AFC North, which is the weirdest thing. The Bengals have become this like beacon of stability somehow.
Well, let's talk about two-point conversions and the new book and the new school and analytics. You called it chaos here. Is that?
I don't mean chaos. I mean chaos, every week it's like I can't believe they've lost another person. The injuries and everything in Lamar and every game seems to be this like miracle work to get to a play at the end. It's been wild to watch. I'm always like, how every week I feel like I don't understand how Baltimore is in this game at the end, and yet they are. Whether it's a miracle comeback or whatever it is, and it's been. It's been insane to watch just from afar the wild season that every team in the division has been having, but definitely you guys.
Well, I'm going to give you a famous Marvin Lewis quote, since you probably spent as much time with him as I have now that you covered him for 15 years, right? But and I'm gonna show this. Marvin only sent me one thing ever that was Bengals. He sent me this. And this was kind of taboo in the Brady Bunch sense of the word. He sent me this, and I wore it the night they played the Steelers because it was cold out, and he sent it to me because we were eliminated, and I think Flacco was hurt. This was the famous, like, on the field they had the game won, the one where you had the lead written where they were moving on, and then all of a sudden there was a penalty and they weren't. So, I this Bengals thing for me and the turnover and the Joe Burrow thing and the fear of Bengals and coming in at this point – the Ravens certainly look vulnerable, right? I mean, like, more so than anything. And Marvin's old quote was this. Back in 96, 97, we'd get a box lunch, and me and him and Jimmy Schwartz would watch film. And there was one play, I don't even remember what it was, but the ball bounced like a football folly. And Marvin turned to me, and he said, and he would use this line a lot. He's like, I can't believe people bet on this. So 25 years later, and we just legalized sports wagering here last week, like the Maryland Lottery. The casinos literally opened last week that you could play for the very first time in Maryland, like you can in Vegas. And I encourage everyone to do it responsibly, especially during the holidays, especially if you're betting on the Ravens, or you would have won the bet last week. It really is amazing how the league and these games, no matter what the games are, whether it's the Raiders and the Browns on Monday, whether it's Sunday night and Tom Brady can't get out of his way, the league is unbelievably compelling in a way that Vince McMahon couldn't draw these scripts up, dude.
I mean, Detroit just beat Arizona. I mean, we talk about it, none of it makes sense half the time. I mean, the margin between being in prime position in this division or in the AFC and being last place, I mean, the Bengals were, I mean, really one barely missed field goal away, were three or four different plays that went their way away from losing in Denver, and going from currently sitting in first in the AFC North and fourth in the AFC to 12th in the AFC. I mean, that and a very narrow win in Denver is an eight spot swing in this conference right now. There's just so much parity. So many teams have so many ways that they can win and players they can beat. And it really comes down to, a ball being dropped or a punt being dropped. The Bengals lost here back-to-back weeks on crazy stuff that doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, a wide open 71-yard touchdown pass that doesn't Ja'Marr Chase doesn't just drop, but it pops up in the air and becomes an interception. And then Joe Mixon, who hadn't fumbled in 305 straight carries, untouched, drops a ball in the backfield that bounces straight up into the hand of the Chargers, who run the other way, and it becomes an unrecoverable play, essentially, in a close game. They drop two punts for turnovers against San Francisco in a game that ends up going to overtime. Otherwise, you're talking about them winning those games. I mean, it's stuff that just doesn't happen, fluky stuff. And those happening is the difference between, you know, you feel like you're fighting for your life here at 8-6 and potentially at 10-4, or it could have gone the opposite. It's wild how narrow the margin for error is, really, for every team in every game.
Paul Danner joining us from Cincinnati at the Athletic there. You talk about fluky. Dude, we had a 66-yard field goal to beat the Lions. So, right. you know, I mean, it's been that kind of year. But this backup coming in and playing this role of Lamar the last couple of weeks has stirred something here that I haven't had since pre-Flacco days, which is the quarterback controversy, if there can be such a thing. Certainly, Lamar wasn't playing well. He's not healthy. The question as to who will play this week, I'm sure Harbaugh will not be making that announcement at the press conference on Friday, you know, which makes the gambling aspect even more itchy from the inside out to say who's got information and inside information and who's telling the truth and who's going to play. I mean, there's all that going on from the game. I mean, and I put the radio on the other night. There's like whole gambling networks that have popped up now. Mm-hmm. Bet. They're betting on baseball. And I'm thinking, I've been watching baseball 53 years. I've never bet on baseball. But to bet on this right now, and you and I, it feels like we've done 50 of these segments together over the years, whether it's me coming to Cincinnati and getting indigestion, or you coming to Baltimore getting great crab cakes, or how, you know, bad football, good football, holidays, Marvin's leaving, no, he's staying, he's getting fired, no, he's staying, he needs a bubble outside, no, he needs a raise, like all of those years of doing that, nothing's been more compelling than this conversation in regard to how tight the division is. There's no dog in the division, although I'll call the Browns that for now because they are in last place in their usual position. But the Steelers are always giving up for dead. And I don't know that any of these teams can win the Super Bowl, but I don't know that friggin' Patrick Mahomes isn't going to come down with COVID January 28th when the Kansas City Chiefs host the second round playoff game either, right?
I don't know that when I look at the AFC that there's anybody that truly scares you. Kansas City would be the only team because the way their defense is playing, but their offense hasn't been the same all year. We'll find out. Kansas City comes here next week after the Baltimore game, how beatable or how far away the Bengals are from that.
But I don't think the Bengals want to go to Foxborough and have to play in February, right? I mean, no matter who's there.
No, but I don't. I mean, you know, the Colts just beat New England and they still have a rookie quarterback. I mean, it's not like it's not like Brady Belichick at this point. I mean, it's still Mac Jones. I don't look around this conference as opposed to the way it has been forever, where there's been premier quarterbacks that have been running it, and think that anybody really scares you to death to think that you couldn't see a North team going in and winning some games. And really, Kansas City being the only one that maybe you make an exception on in that. And let's not forget how poor they were early in the season. I don't think that it isn't anything other than very, very wide open. And that's why Sunday is just as enormous of a game as you will get, because it's just get yourself in the tournament. I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen, but it's going to be so hard to get into the tournament. And I just think for these two teams, this feels like the decisive game when we look back on it in a few weeks.
Paul, make a case for post Marvin and everything that's happened, because it was bumpy, right? And then it was so bumpy that it was awful that you get the one pick and you get a quarterback that a lot of people believe would be generational. And they could talk about that down in Jacksonville with whomever's going to go down there and coach the kid from Clemson. But you've been around this enough, and obviously not in the locker room, not hanging out with Joe Burrow. I've never met Patrick Queen, right? I've never met Calais Campbell other than at a Super Bowl when he showed up 10 years ago running around with the Cardinals, right? So being on the inside or the outside of this is all relative in regard to how things have changed. But clearly, that's an improved football team in a lot of ways. They brought in those old linemen the last couple of years, you know, I mean, sort of leftover parts and trying to figure it out. And the cleaning of the house there has been they've selected better football players lately, the last, let's say, 18 months.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you really look at it between free agency and the draft, you know, free agency, which they never really participated in, and the draft, which they were in a particularly poor run of selecting players really for about a 4 or 5 year spot there from 2014 to 2018. And that has gradually, they've stacked a couple of off seasons and gutted out all the old. I mean, there was just a certain point here where the last 2 years was still the pulling off of it was a slow pull of the Band-Aid. You know, the Bengals don't like to do anything fast, including ripping off the Band-Aid of the old. It was like, we're going to gut the locker room, but we're going to take 2 years to do it rather than just hit the hard reset. And they did. And so you had these leftover parts still last year that never quite made it feel like a true turnover to this new coaching staff, whether we're talking about Geno Atkins or AJ Green and Carlos Dunlap, Giovanni Bernard, and just a lot of these older pieces of the old regime. It didn't feel like it was a truly new turnover. And then
all the enemies of my 40s.
Right. Well, that all happened, right? This all occurred. And now you have really nobody left from them. It's all the new age. And there's a very much a new excitement and attitude that came from that. And a chemistry that was helped by winning early that really has turned them into the surprise team of this division and really of the AFC. And Burrow's growth is a big part of that, obviously, and that's the centerpiece. But really, Trey Hendrickson, Larry Ogunjobi, Mike Hilton, Chidobe Awuzie, Eli Apple.
All guys, they went into free agency.
They went into free agency and spent a lot of money on all of these guys, and they've all come out big hits. And all of a sudden, you have a defense that can throttle off a lot of offenses, if not all, on a good day here. And that's saying something considering where they were. And to say that this team won in free agency, they have a draft. The last two drafts have been really good. Good players that are making plays every single week for them. You know, you combine all of that, and that's how you end up a team that's 8-6 with a ton of cap room next year, draft picks, young players all under contract, quarterback on a rookie contract. The window's just opening for them. They opened it up earlier than I think that we anticipated. I don't think we thought they would be sitting here on December 21st at first place in the AFC North with a chance of a home game against Baltimore, putting them hardcore in the driver's seat.
I'm going to put the whammy on you right now by touching the mystical Bengals top here that was sent to me. To hear you speak in these glowing terms of this turnaround, not like our friends in Cleveland and Northern Ohio, but you know how dark the darkness can be. I mean, even through the Marvin era, when those injuries happen and you sort of bottom out, you've watched the team bottom out to get 1-1s on back to Klingler, for crying out loud, right? So really, to have it bottom out there, the fans there, and I looked a couple weeks ago, there was a game on. And, you know, I don't judge anything on the plague last year, but was it maybe 2 weeks ago the Bengals played a big game, and I looked and I thought maybe there'll be a lot of people there, and I looked and the upper deck was still full of green and empty and whatever, and I'm always thinking, like, when's it going to catch on, and when are they going to catch fire in the jungle for a bit? But believing that the team could win would go a long way in smacking the Ravens around this week, right? And in believing that they're going to have a home game next month and that there could be a party, and maybe just to steal from Greece, that you could come home and ring the victory bell just one time in late January, right? Like, I mean, that's really the Marvin era is defined by they haven't won a playoff game since, like Ken Anderson or something, since Icky Woods or something?
They haven't won a playoff game since January 6th, 1991.
91, so Icky Woods,
yeah,
okay.
And that is the current NFL flag bearer there. I mean, that's as long as it gets. And, you know, they've – there's a lot of reasons for that, but I'll say this. I mean, the stadium will not be full on Sunday. There will be a lot of empty seats. It's not because the tide hasn't turned with the fan base. It's just those things lag a year behind. I mean, it was going to, they're still in the rebuild mode of selling tickets, you know, selling single game tickets. They didn't have packages being in season tickets flying off the shelves before the season started, because everyone was still very skeptical, rightfully so, of a new regime that was 6-25-1 on entering this year. But now they have turned that around. They have reconnected. You do have a real sense of community and belief that has happened in this city, because I think everybody believes in the quarterback and they've seen the way things have changed. But that doesn't change the fact that they're not going to really have a full house probably till next year, and they can get an off season of banking off of what they have done. There'll be plenty of people in the stadium, but they've actually played better on the road this year, quite a bit more consistently on the road this year. That, you know, their most impressive wins, their cleanest wins have almost all been on the road, outside of probably their home win against Pittsburgh a few weeks back. And obviously Baltimore knows that. And their most notable win of the whole season was what they did at M&T Bank Stadium.
Well, hey, by the way, Paul Daner's here from The Athletic. I'm literally on the website just to buy a ticket right now. They start at $42. So it's not, you know, if you want to go to the game, it's $42. Well, you sort of laugh at that because it's sort of always that way in Cincinnati. Dude, Packers tickets were $225 2 weeks ago when they thought it was Lamar and Aaron Rodgers. And that's for that game. But it's that way because there were 18,000 Packers fans in the stadium the other night, which is unprecedented. I mean, anyone who's been a Raven fan for 26 years, the Ravens, there's never a day where I've opened my Facebook and haven't seen a Ravens ad to buy single game tickets from the Ravens on my app after, come on, dude, you've been coming in here for a long, long time, that there were never empty seats here. It was like church. It was the same people every week. The whole league's looking for a new fan base. They've really pushed this gambling thing, which is a whole different reason to be a football fan than because you love Cincinnati or you love Baltimore, or you love the color purple, or, you know, you have some alignment with Ray Lewis or whatever, right? But for the league in general, business has never been like better, right? I mean, we go back to the beginning of this, of where the Ravens are, but as theater, there's nothing like it, literally. I mean, not baseball, not hockey, not anything that stops the world the way this league's going to stop people, especially in the dead of winter where we got a plague, everybody's inside, and the league has basically said, it's a plague, we'll play through it. And they've changed their protocols now because it's so important that they play, that they'll even play on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning or whenever they have to get the game in, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best reality show going. The one thing you don't mention is just the constant drama when everyone feels like they know all the players. I mean, that's really the ruse here. I mean, that's what has made the NFL great and made it the overlord that it is fantasy football, because everybody knows players from other teams. It's what baseball struggles with. Baseball's so regional. It's, you know, your team. You watch your team. You don't.
You're an old guy like me. We collected baseball cards. We played Stratomatic. Sure. We watched Twib. Sporting
News.
Used
to know that.
And then you played rotisserie for a while. Rotisserie baseball was a thing, and that kept you into who the Braves starters were and whatever. Boy, that's come and gone. But football is. It feels like it's ramped up, yet they still have trouble selling tickets in Baltimore and Cincinnati. It's kind of weird.
You know, the NBA is the only thing that does it close, because they have their superstars. Like, everyone knows the 20 superstars in the NBA. It's easy to follow that. There's fewer players. In the NFL, the fact that they've pulled off a world where everyone knows so many players on all the teams, it creates the drama, right? It creates Aaron Rodgers asking for a trade. It creates Russell Wilson. It creates the drama of free agency and the trades deadline and all the other stuff that occurs that fuels it just as much of anything to create this like unstoppable reality show that unfolds every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And that is such the driving force of the league. And they've done a great job of leaning into that. They've done a great job of capitalizing on it and not being afraid to kind of drive the conversation in a different way than other people think they can, which is always towards the money, right? And that's fine. That's kind of who they're going to be, and they make a whole lot of it, and good for them. But, you know, to be good in this league, to play huge games at home in this league is such a game changer. And really what has been missing around here for so long was just, there just weren't, it's been 6 years now since the Bengals were last in the playoffs. And until you play and win huge games and give your fans moments in the postseason or in winter, your go home games in the end of the year, you don't feel like you're truly a part of it and invested in your own team. That's part of this bigger reality show. And that's where the Bengals are at now in their breakthrough.
Easy schedule the rest of the way for the Bengals too, right? I mean, all these schedules are insane, right?
It's been like that. You know, when the whole league looks the same, it's easy to have a schedule of games like the Bengals have had where they've gone, every team has been, I think, one game over 500 when they've played them for the last month, it seems like. You know, it's like every single team they're playing is right there in that bloated middle. They, you know, San Francisco and the Chargers and the Raiders and the Steelers and now the Ravens and then the Chiefs and the Browns, they're all been the same. They're all the same team. You know, a team that's pretty good, got a flaw or two you can take advantage of, and that's who the Bengals are too. And so it makes for entertaining football every week.
Dude, I see Eddie Vedder behind you. Room Raider gives you at least, I mean, maybe a 10, like the album 10, maybe a perfect 10, but or maybe a 20, like a pretty good DVD. But I would say I'm sitting on two tickets to two shows in Oakland on my app right now. Yeah. My dear friend Jenny Jablonski has me hooked up in Baltimore. Got to get the boys, got to get the lads back out on the road. I mean, it's important for 2022. It's been 2 years now. We were a week out on Pearl Jam coming to Baltimore and playing the Royal Farms Arena. And then the plague hits. And, yeah, you know, and they, by the way, I was pissed at them. They canceled before the NBA, anybody. They put the press release out. They were like, no can do, plague, we're not going out on the road. And I'm like, damn you, Pearl Jam. About 2 weeks later, the whole world was shut down, right? They were on the front end. They're always on the front end, right?
Yeah, always are. Yeah, no doubt. You're right. We do need to get them. We do need to get them back on the road. So it'll happen soon enough.
I've been hearing that Eddie Vedder Christmas song, so it puts me in the holiday spirit. Paul Danner joining us here from The Athletic. Hey, man, I appreciate you. Thanks for coming on. I'm not making it to Cincinnati. I don't need to be, you know, flying through Cincinnati on Christmas Eve like John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So no. I'm going to rely on your eagle eye from the press box there in the jungle and your indigestion in the second half. You eat that chili.
I appreciate that. My gut is trained though on Cincinnati chili, so I don't have to worry about it. It's like when you have calluses on your hands, it doesn't matter, it doesn't hurt you. You're fine.
Tell me what you do, because you're podcasting, you do a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, people here are really, we're watching the Bengals, and I guess the next couple of weeks, where can folks follow you and get all the Danner treatment?
At Paula Danner Jr. on Twitter, if you want to keep up with everything that's going on the other side this week and beyond. And then at The Athletic, and of course, you know, Jeff Zrebrek, who kills it for us in Baltimore, does a fantastic job. And we're, you know, we've got people in every team all over the place. And so you can go to The Athletic and get it all under one umbrella there. And yeah, Hear That Podcast Ground is our Bengals podcast that we do. And if you want to, we'll do a game preview episode. So if you want to hear things from the Bengals side, and Jeff will actually be on with us for a conversation on that one. You can hear that later in the week.
He won't know who's starting a quarterback either. Nobody will know because, you know, John's
I just can't believe
anybody.
We've reached the portion of the program where it's like, should Huntley be playing over Lamar? I just couldn't believe that when I was reading through Harbaugh's transcript with the questions yesterday. I mean, you know, when you cover, I tangentially am paying attention to the Ravens when the Bengals aren't playing them. But then during that week, I dive further in, and diving in yesterday, I'm reading it through. I'm like, oh my God, we've reached the maybe they should play Huntley portion of the program. When did that happen? Apparently it's here.
Yeah, don't sign Lamar. This is why I don't take phone calls anymore, dude. I did that for 23 years. I've been in that jail. Fire Harbaugh.
Somebody who's seen the highlights of all Lamar highlights, like, I don't ever see a world where Lamar should not be the answer. But I don't know.
Where are you on the two-point thing? Play sports radio in Baltimore. You know, if your coach goes for two six times on Sunday and loses by a point, the new age on this, I mean, the analytics speak to whatever the analytics are, but the analytics don't don't say roll out your backup quarterback, cut the field by 2/3, and have him throw the football that hits the dirt, right? Like, that's a tough thing to defend when it doesn't work.
Hey, around here, though, it's the same thing. You know, we had a game against San Francisco where Joe Burrow is having the fourth quarter in overtime of his life. He is roasting the 49ers and leading this massive comeback that included just dime after dime after dime, drives them down the field to the 23-yard line, and they run it twice on first and second down, and then on third down gets sacked. And everyone's saying, you took the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands. And it was the conversation for a week because they end up kicking the field goal. San Francisco drives the length. The field goes the other way in overtime to win 26-23. The next week in Denver, they are up by 5 on 3rd and 8 in their own end from the 39 at the 2-minute warning. Do you throw the ball and put the ball in Joe Burrow's hands, or do you hand it off because Denver has no timeouts and essentially give Drew Lock needing to go the length of the field for a touchdown in 1:10 instead of 1:45? And they run it. And he took the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands again. And if he leaned on his defense paid it off for him. But so we get another week of, are they going to take the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands in the big moments? That, you know, it's the 2-point conversion point of the conversation over here on this side. It's the same thing. Every city has some different version of the same argument that everyone's having right now. And I fully anticipate there being some 2-point conversion discussion after Sunday and some, did they take the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands conversation after Sunday, because it's hard to see this game being anything other than coming down on the wire.
Paul Danner joining us here from The Athletic. He will be on the scene in Cincinnati eating chili and zubazzing and jungling and doing all that. By the way, the Bengals went with the Bears went with the Bengals helmets. You see that the other night? These space age uniforms, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Bengals got their new uniforms now. They're all very excited about it, although they're not very dramatic.
They have to sell more of them. happy holidays to you, man. Thanks for coming on. You're always a great guest, man. Paul Danner joining us here from The Athletic, talking 2-point conversions and number one overall quarterbacks. I am Nestor. We're going to get back to the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Luke is going to be out in Owings Mills. By the way, Royal Farms, free Christmas coffee on Christmas Day if you got the app. I want to make sure everybody knows about that. Any size, so get the large. Get all amped up for the holidays on Christmas Day. It's free if you've got the app. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.